Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, please. And we'll start in verse 13. Now, last couple months, we've been talking about the book of Ephesians. And we've been talking about things we should not do as Christians, the sins and stuff like that, and things that we should do. Well, I'm going to go into a little bit more detail today on this because the Lord had brought to my attention a verse this past week. And I'll be honest with you, this past week I was not a very good resemblance of this verse. I had to ask for your forgiveness first and foremost. I went on a rant on Facebook, and it was not Christian like me to do that at all. I first and foremost asked for your forgiveness on that. But this verse came to my mind, and it's kind of like God take me out to the shed, you know, and just give me a gib slap to the back of the head, you know. I actually had something else I was going to preach on this morning, and then this came to mind. So I'm going to read it, and then we'll get started here, all right? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven." Okay, we're going to break this down a little bit, okay? And we're going to go into detail what this verse is talking about. Because this is a verse that we use a lot of time in church. We say it, we're the salt of the earth, we're the city on a hill. But I feel that not a lot of people understand what that verse is actually talking about. You know, they say it, and they kind of got a concept, but they really don't understand what it's actually talking about. So I'm going to go into a little bit this morning. First and foremost, salt. Salt is salt. The formula for it is NaCl, which is sodium chloride. It is salt, okay? If you took a deer block of salt in the wintertime and broke it up, guess what it would be? Salt, right? If we was to do an experiment right now and we took table salt, put it in a glass of water, put something underneath it, flip the glass over, let the water in the glass evaporate, what would be left? Salt. Okay, but it wasn't like that in the Bible times. Okay, they didn't go out to the ocean, you know, and purify water to get salt that we eat today. There was actually a process. So, how does salt lose its saltiness? I'm going to answer that question. Why would it be necessary to throw it out as useless? And what might Jesus be referring to here? Okay, uses for salt. Number one. In the ancient world, salt was not always derived from evaporating seawater to pure white form, but came from the salt marshes containing many impurities. In the biblical times, they had these fields they called salt marshes that they would go out and get the salt from, and it would have all this bad junk on it. You know, the people that garden knows what I'm talking about. You know, you got your fruits and vegetables, and you got pesticides on them and stuff like that, and you got to wash them off before you can eat them. Okay, that's what they had to do here. They had all these impurities on them. And what they had to do was they diluted the residue off of it in their homes, and then they would throw it out in the streets. And that would be trampled underfoot by men. It was good for nothing. It was that old, nasty salt. So they can get to the pure salt underneath it. Sometimes the diluted residue, the savorless salt, was scattered on the dirt rooftops of homes. Because back then, they didn't have A-frames and metal roofing and all that. Most of the homes' roofs were flat. And so they would throw these salt on top of roofs to fill up holes or cracks or whatever to prevent leakage. Okay, so like in Acts chapter 10, when it talks about Peter being on the roof praying before they was to go out on their mission trip, okay, people, if you used your roof a lot like he did, went up there and pray and do whatever, then it was being trampled underfoot by men. The third thing, and I found this out when I was doing some history on the Palestinian history about this, it was rather normal to have cooking stoves outside. Why do you think that is? Because they don't have central air. It's the desert, and it's hot. Okay? So you don't want to get your... When I was in Costa Rica last year, a lot of their cooking stuff was outdoors. And the reason behind that is, it's because they don't get good air circulation, okay, in their homes. Because they're not like us. They don't have air conditioning and stuff. And just like then, they didn't have air conditioning. So most of their stuff was done outdoors. The thing about it is, though, is the ovens were made of stone. Excuse me. The ovens were made of stone with a layer of tile underneath it. So to help to retain the heat, they would put salt in the stoves. And after a length of time, the salt would lose its ability to help to retain the heat. So they would take that salt and throw it out. It was no good. Now, what is he saying for us on this? Okay. How many of you all like to eat salt with your food? A bunch of us, right? Me, personally, I don't like a lot of salt in my food. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not a salty person. That could preach more ways than one, I guess. But I'm not a very salty person when it comes to food. Okay, I don't like it, but some people like it. Now, have you ever took something like mashed potatoes? Let's just use that for you. Have you ever ate mashed potatoes without salt? Pretty nasty, ain't it? You got to have salt in the mashed potatoes, okay? If you don't have the salt in the mashed potatoes, it's not going to be really good for anything. That I do like, okay? So, the mashed potatoes, without the salt, it's no good. It's nasty. With the salt, it's good. Same thing with our lives, okay? We want to be appetizing to the world. We want to show people Jesus. We want to be appetizing to them, and that way they can look at us and say, you know what? I want what they got. I want this Jesus that they have. Let me put it this way. On April 15, 2013, a bombing took place in Boston on the day of the Boston Marathon. Okay? Of those, three people died and 260 others were severely injured. 26-year-old Audrey Goss from Troy, New York, received a check for $480,000 from a fund that was set up to help the victims of the Boston Marathon. However, there was one problem with that. There's no medical records or anything showing that this person was actually ever admitted to a hospital or nothing, and he scammed the system to get $480,000. Now, on the flip side of that, Candace Scott, an unemployed teacher from College Station, Texas, saw a gallon-sized bag of, I'm going to get this right, it was labeled Chase Bank, and had $100 bills rolled up equaling $20,000. She was unemployed, a teacher that was unemployed, okay? But instead of keeping the money, she took the money to the police department and gave it back to its rightful owners. As a result of that, Chase Bank hired her, and she became employed. Now, why did I use those two stories? Because, one, the guy that stole the money, he was not being very good salt of the earth. Okay? He was not. If somebody looked at him and said, man, how can you take $480,000 from people? You know, that's not a very good witness. On the flip side of that, that lady that was unemployed and the teacher that was unemployed, she gave that money back. And said, you know what? That's very honest of you. We like that. That's what salt of the earth means. Okay, the first two things I want to point out to that was, one, two old-fashioned things that people don't like to talk about in church a lot today. One is called sin, and the other one is called honesty. Sin and honesty. Sin is anything that separates us from God, okay? Whether it be lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, you name it. If it separates us from what God has in store for us, then that's sin. Honesty, another word for that is called integrity. And integrity is doing the right thing when even people aren't looking. Okay? So, those stories. The first one is compared to sin. The second one is compared to integrity, salt of the earth. Now, light of the world. 392 years ago, in 1630, a Puritan leader named John Winthrop. Now, if any of y'all don't know anything about history, you're about to get a good history lesson right now, because John Winthrop was a man of men, let me tell you. He was one of the founding leaders of the founding fathers, okay? So, as they was coming across the ocean on the ship Arabella, this is where John gave his famous sermon, A City on a Hill. And they was going to Massachusetts Bay to set up the first colony, and they needed the help of God. And he wanted to make them all aware, every one of them aware for this. And in his sermon, he said, "For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us." Why is that? Well, because they've got people coming from a different country. You know, England at that time separating themselves from the king to come over here to start a new world. Okay? So they were looking to these people for leadership. So they said, all the eyes of the people are upon us. We are a city on a hill. See, John Winthrop recognized the golden opportunity that he had to be a light of the world at that point. He pleaded to his comrades that he must behave according to God's commandments and stay true to the Christian calling. If not, they will, and I quote, "be made a story and byword through the world. They shall open the mouths of enemies to speak evil of the way of God and all professors for God's sake. They shall shame the faces of many God's worthy servants and cause their prayers to be turned into curses upon us till we be consumed out of the good land whither we are going." That's pretty hardcore. They knew the importance of this. Over the years, the church has diluted that. Okay, we have diluted that from day to day. We think, well, God loves us. God is love. God loves us. Yes, He is. God is love. He does love each and every one of us. But He also gives us strict orders to do what we need to do as Christians, so that way we can pull other people to Him. Okay? John Winthrop said right here, he said, look, if we don't stick to our Christian values and do what we're supposed to as Christians, then these people that we are leading, they're going to laugh at us. They're going to call us fake, and they're going to laugh at us. And we're not going to be good for anything. We're going to be like that salt that was tossed out on the road. We're not going to be good for nothing. All we're going to be good for is be trampled underfoot by men, and nobody ain't going to take us serious at all. But here, get this. Now, I'm not lifting up any presidents or nothing like that, but I thought this was pretty cool. He did not know when he preached that sermon that it would be used in the 1950s and early 60s by a president by the name of John F. Kennedy. Those words were so powerful that they were able to last until then and until today, because there was so much truth in it. In John 8, verse 12, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Okay? And again, I wrote this verse down while we were doing the songs. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 talks about loving your enemies. You know, we always heard it say that, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Okay, love them. We literally must be like God in our thinking, our words, and our actions. Our thinking, our words. And I didn't really realize that. I mean, I've heard it preached before, and I've kind of said it myself. But it really didn't dawn on to me till this past week when I posted that thing on Facebook that was me. I didn't think I was hurting anybody. I was just venting. You know, which, by the way, Facebook, let me tell you something about Facebook. Facebook can be a really good tool. Okay, it can. It can reach a lot of people. Brother Jeremy there got on back on it last night. I was excited to see him, but be careful, man. Because the devil can easily entrap you on Facebook, man, and get the worst of you out, okay? But I got on there, and I had been dealing with some stuff, and I just got on there, and I was just ranting and raving about what Christians should not rant and rave about. I was not being a very good witness for Christ, let me tell you. And, you know, the help of my pastor here and God kind of made me realize that we need to watch what we say and do. You know, because it's not just us that's running this race. It's every non-believer that's outside these walls. Okay? And what we do will reflect what God is, or who God is. Not what God is, but who God is. And if we are not living our lives the way according to Scripture tells us to lead it, live it, then how are we expecting anybody else to? You know, shame on us for that. John the Baptizer said, Christ must increase and I must decrease. Christ must increase and I must decrease. Everybody say that with me. Christ must increase and I must decrease. Okay? John the Baptizer said that. John the Baptizer knew who Jesus was. Why? Because he was Jesus' first cousin. And he leapt for him in his womb. In his mom's womb. Not his womb. His mom's womb. Okay? Because that just been weird. Okay, that just been awkward. But the closer we get... Oh, I love this. This is awesome. You guys are amazing. Therefore, the closer we get to the source of light, the brighter our light is. The closer we can get to the source of the light, the brighter our light will come. Okay? It will. Have anybody ever seen a lamp? Okay? And it's a dark room. You've got a lamp plugged in. But it's a huge room. Okay? And when you're really far away, you can see the light, but it doesn't really do you any good. But as you get closer to that light, and as you come in contact with that light, then it illuminates everything. It lights up everything for us. Okay? There's a flip side to that. Okay? We can be offensive with our light if we're not careful. Okay? We can be offensive with our light if we are not careful. Flashlights. Good for seeing stuff. You ever shine a flashlight in somebody's eyes? I have. Trish, and she slapped me. She slapped me pretty good, too, I'm telling you, man. I didn't shine no light in her eyes no more. Same thing with her words. We can have a holier-than-thou attitude and turn so many people away from God. Okay. I totally forgot what I was going on. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Hilda. We are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Think about that for a second. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you say you're walking with Him, and you publicly tell people that you are a Christian, you just became a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. People's going to look at you from all angles. They're going to look at you under a microscope, front and back, top to bottom. And they're going to make sure that you are who you say you are. And if you're not who you say you are, they'll spot it. They will. If we are going around with this whole mentality of telling people what they're doing is wrong, then we're using our light to be offensive to others. We're using the source of the light to be offensive to others. Because people, 95% of the time, know what they're doing is wrong. I mean, unless they were living under a rock and just deluded to everything, they know what they're doing is right or wrong. I mean, that's something that we're all given. Okay? If we go around telling them that all the time, what do you think their response is going to be? Will you please just shut up and leave me alone? We need to use the light that Jesus has given us to be constructive in people's lives. not to be offensive. See, little by little, you become a light of this world every day that you're alive. A light that imparts blessings, happiness, and good tidings to all those who we come to meet. Luke chapter 6 says, "For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush." Every tree is known by its fruit that it produces. If you go outside and you see an apple hanging from a tree, what do you call it? An apple tree. Or if you see a peach hanging from a tree, you call it a peach tree. Okay? Now, let's do the flip side of that. See, if a patch of thorns there, you see an apple in it. The apple may look good, may taste good, but you're not going to want that apple. Why? Because it's surrounded by stuff that can hurt you, just like in our lives. If we're not producing the fruits of the Spirit, which are gentleness, patience, love, kindness, you know, the fruits of the Spirit that we learn about in the Word, then people know we'll go to church. They know we believe in Jesus, but they're not going to want none of it because we have this rotten attitude, a hateful mindset. We're judgmental on everything we say and do. Okay, but by Georgie, we'll stand up and say, "I go to church. I go up there to New Hope every Sunday. You know, you ought to come to church with me." Heck, I ain't want to go to church with you. If that's how people in your church act, I don't want nothing to do with it. Am I telling the truth, guys? Okay? That's the world we live in today. I work with so many of them. Sometimes I do it myself. And that's something I need to, God's working on me with. Okay? I'll stand up here and say it. I ain't ashamed. You know, something God's working with me on. But the thing about it is this. If we don't show the love of Christ to others as Christ loves us, then we are just like that salt. We are not good for nothing. Only thing we're good for is for people to go, "Yeah, right," and walk on. Because they're not going to listen to a word we say. We need to be like John Winthrop and know our purpose. Know why we are put here on earth. You know, by the time a kid is in college, halfway through their second semester, they drop out. Or they pick another major. Why? Because they don't know what they want in life. Sadly enough, 70% of adults don't know that either. They don't know what they want in life. They just go from here to there, from there to here, floating around like a buoy in the ocean. Okay? We need to be like Jesus. We need to have the fruits of the Spirit. In verse 15, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives it light to all who are in the house." I kind of touched on this a while ago, you know, about the offensiveness of the light. You know, I kind of jumped ahead of myself on that. But in all actuality, we don't need to put it under a basket either. We don't need to hide that light. There has to be a balance there. You know, I think Pastor Mike said this once. He said, "There's a difference between confronting and confronting." Okay? Confronting is when I go up to Joe and say, "Joe," he would never do this, but I'm using his illustration because he's right in front of me and I've got a one-track mind. So, "Joe, you're in my illustration right now." Okay? "Joe, I seen you coming out of the liquor store the other day and I've told you not to drink that beer, but you're going to anyway. You're going to hell." Okay, that's confronting. Carefronting about, "Joe, man, saw you come out of the liquor store the other day, and you need me to pray for you? You need me to do anything for you? You got something going on you want to talk about?" See the difference? Which more acceptable is that person going to be receptive to? Are they going to be the one yelling and screaming and hooting and hollering at them and telling them what they're doing is wrong, or are they going to be the one that says, "Let me be your friend. Let me show you this man named Jesus. I'm sure he can take care of you." Okay? This is why we need to study the Bible and know who God is. In Psalms, it says, in Psalms 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." There's that word light again. Why was Jesus so big on using the word light? Well, I'll get to that here in a second. But this is our light, guys. If we're saved and we know Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior, and we're not in this like we should be, then how are we going to know when something comes along that might trip us up? And how are we going to know how to react in situations that we might not agree with? Okay? Just because we might not agree with it or agree with it, if it's in here and God says, then it's true. This is what we must go by. Okay? But how do we know that? Well, we're not in the Bible. How can we know it? Let your light shine so before men. Now, that doesn't mean that we should go around with a big billboard and say, I'm a Christian. Look how righteous I am. You know, I'm holier than most people. You know, I read my Bible. I pray. I do all these things at my church. I'm the Sunday school director. I praise the Lord. You know, I'm here to reach out to every one of y'all. Look at me. If you know Jesus, you'll be like me one day. You know, no, please do not do that. Because if they're like me, God help them. That's all I'm saying. Okay, just God. We don't need two Shanes in this world. It does not say that. We are commanded to pray in secret. Okay? Just like in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Okay? Don't be like the hypocrites, the Pharisees that Jesus was talking about. Don't be like them, where they say, oh, I could quote every scripture from Genesis to Revelation. I could pray the Lord's Prayer backwards and forward 10 times with my eyes closed, every other word. Okay? Don't be like those guys. But do it in secret. If you help somebody, do it in secret. If you pray with somebody, do it in secret, because if we do it just to be showing off, then we're not being very good lights at that point. We're not being very good salt. All we're doing is making a mockery of the name of Jesus and showing ourselves. Okay? Help other people without taking recognition for it. You know, you shouldn't have to help somebody and say, go home to your spouse or your friends, call them up on Facebook. Don't call them. You can call them up on Facebook. Send them a message on Facebook. You know, say, oh man, look what I did. Jeremy had a car broke down and I went by on the 15. I stopped and helped him today. You know, you ain't going to get blessed for that. Only blessing you're going to get is Jeremy going to say thanks. Am I right, Jeremy? You know, that's the only thing you're going to get blessed with. A feel-good attitude and thanks. Christ is telling us is that we are to be a light. We need to do good works. Okay, now good works won't get you into heaven. So before you make any conclusions about, oh, if I do good works and I don't know Jesus, I can still get into heaven. No. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life, that no man should enter to my Father except through me. In the Revelations, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens it, I will come in and be with him. Okay? Or dine with him, or whatever that last sentence is. You know? But we need to do good works. As Christians, we are expected to do good works. That is like, if you had like top 5 things Christians should do, like, number 1 would be love God. Number 2 would be love your neighbor as yourself. And number 3 would be do good works. Okay? Why? Have you ever seen a Christian that does not do good works? Do they look very appetizing for Jesus? They don't. I've seen them. I work with some. Okay? I'm just being honest. They have the worst, hatefulest attitude at work. They don't praise Jesus in anything. They only say, well, my church does this and my church does that. What does Jesus do? It should be all about Jesus, not about the church you attend or the personal relationship that you have with them. Or, you know, it should be about Jesus. Okay? Jesus, the Son of God, who died and bled on the cross for all of our sins, so that way one day when we die, we can go to heaven and be with Him. That's what it should be about. And spreading that love and that good message, the gospel, it says, to other people. you know, and baptizing them and reaching out to them and preaching the truth. You know, do people know sins? Yes, they do. If they live in this area more than 5 minutes, they know sins. Okay? This is a thing called a Bible Belt. If you don't want this, look it up. Christ is telling us to be a light, and we need to do good works. It is impossible to be a light to the world without doing something good. It's impossible. You can't do it. If you only think about me all the time, and you're out in the world and only doing that, you're not going to be a very good light, folks. You're not. And I think it's a lot of times we need to get to a point where we can repent from that. Jesus is making a point here. Okay? It is not good that we only have an economic knowledge of truth. Okay? There's a guy I know, I ain't going to mention his name, I love him to death, he loves the Lord, he's working tirelessly for the Lord, but for the longest time, he thought because he knew the Scriptures that he could press that upon other people and they should automatically understand what he was talking about and expect them to act the way that he acts. And it took him a long time to understand that that's not how it is. That you have to meet people where they're at. You can't be on a higher plane than them and think you're better than them. Because if you do, then the blood is going to be on your hands one day if they doesn't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not sorry because this is true. But this is something the Lord's laid on my heart, and I think everybody needs to hear it. The knowledge that we have every day must be translated in our daily lives. It's one thing to, I love to cook, man. I love it. I can cook like Chef Boyardee, because that's all I can do sometimes. Can't food. No, I'm just messing with you. But I do love to cook. And I like to get, Trish gets on to me all the time, because I'll get online and I'll find recipes. I'm like the Mel Lima Barnett, okay? I'll get online and I'll look for recipes, different recipes, just weird concoctions. Because I like to put stuff together and see what it makes. Now, sometimes it don't come out too good. I'll just be honest with you. There's been a couple times where I tried to make a pie one time and it called for bacon powder, but I thought it said bacon soda. So I put baking soda in it, and it did not turn out the way I wanted. Let me tell you, it rose up like a pie. It looked like a pie. It smelled like a pie, but it did not taste like a pie. I took one bite of that and threw that thing out like faster than I can bake it, man. I was like, this is nasty. I'm getting rid of this. Trish, I kind of tricked Trish and taking a bite of it, too. That was fun. But the instructions that it gave me, I didn't read the instructions correctly. So when it got translated to be real world applicable, it didn't turn out the way it wanted to be, because that's not what the instructions called for. Okay? We read the Bible every day, some of us do. And we read it intently, and we make a set mindset that we're going to read the Bible every morning, every day, for the rest of our lives. But when it comes time to make that life real world applicable, we didn't read it correctly. Because when it comes out, it's not appetizing to nobody. Okay? It's nasty. It's judgmental. It's rotten. It's got a hateful attitude. You know? But we're like, well, the Bible says it's true, that it must be true. Yes, it must be true. But the Bible also states that we must love our neighbors as ourselves. If we're not loving people, then we're not loving God. Okay? Our light, let me go second half of that verse first before I go to that. I was on a roll there. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What is the purpose of being a light to the world? What should be our motive? What should be the driving force behind every action? Jesus was telling us to shine our light so that it would glorify the Father in heaven. Not to glorify Shane or Joel or John or anybody else or Mike or Lima, okay? But it was to glorify the Father in heaven, okay? That's our goal. That's our goal. It's all about Jesus. It always will be about Jesus, and it always has been about Jesus. That's what it's about. Our light and our good works should not focus on ourselves. they should point people to God. If they're not pointing people to God, we need to step back and we need to reevaluate what voltage our light is on. Because if our voltage is weak or our light's going dim, then we may look at having to go to the spiritual hardware store and get it replaced. Okay? And get it fixed up. Get some work done on our lamp. Okay? Our example should show them that what we believe is true and it leads to life. It must tell them that if we follow God, we will be blessed not just in this life, but in the life to come. I don't think, guys. My notes got confused here. Okay. If we boast, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister. This is the Message version. I like to use it. Now, I believe that the Message version should not be a core version that you read, but it's a good study Bible because it kind of translates it into normal English and lets you get a different perspective of what the Scriptures are talking about. But in the Message version of that, it says, if anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. You've got to do both. If you say you love God but can't stand somebody you work with, then the Bible, according to this, says you're a liar. You know, there's another verse in there that says, the light is not in you. Okay? You're a liar. The truth is not in you. That's something hard to think about. Because people get on their nerves every day. They do me, I can tell you that much. You know, there's people I deal with on a daily basis that I wish I could come to the phone on them sometimes. You know, and that's something I have to repent from that God was working with me on. I don't have it all together. I'm not going to sit up here and say I do, because I don't. There's many times where I make mistakes, but I repent from that daily and try to move on. See, the purpose of our light is to expose the darkness in people. That's the purpose. It's to glorify God, to pull other people to Him, but to expose their sin that God can deal with them on. It's not our job to go up and Bible thump somebody across the forehead saying that you're going to hell because you live a certain way. But our job is to love them. Let Christ deal with them. That's what it means to be about the salt of the earth. That's what it means to be the light of the world. It's to go out and to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is that gospel? The gospel is this. We are all sinners and we've all fell short of the glory of God. Because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Throughout history, God had tried to reconcile Himself to us and us to Himself. And could not do it through any man on earth. So He had sent a perfect man down through a virgin by the name of Mary, who knew no man, so that He can come into this world supernaturally, live a perfect life, die on a cross for our sins, and be born again, be raised again 3 days later, and is now sitting at the right hand throne of God. And if we believe that with everything that's in us, if we adhere to and trust in and rely upon that and believe in that and we confess that before men, then we will be saved. And that same freedom that Jesus is having right now in heaven, we can have that same freedom here on earth while we're alive. Okay? That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. None of us deserve to be in heaven when we die. None of us deserve to live a blessed life here on earth. Because we're all sinners. We've all fell short of the glory of God. But one thing is true. It's by grace we are saved. Through faith. Not it's by these things we have to meet. By our own actions we're saved. If we feel that we have to come up. And we have to meet all these regulations. And all these check marks. Before Jesus can love us. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And it's not true. That's a lie that the Satan has been giving people for years in this area. And in this world. In this country. Is that they feel like they have to meet all these criteria before Jesus can love them and meet them where they're at. The truth is this, guys. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, now's the perfect time, because you may not get another opportunity to know Him. You may die before leaving this parking lot. You may have a heart attack, an aneurysm, anything. But the thing about it is this. When we do become saved and we live on a daily basis in this world with these people that doesn't know Jesus Christ, we need to be a light. Because if we're not being a light, if we're living these sins that we were talking about in Ephesians and we think there ain't nothing of it, then we're good for nothing. We can say we're saved all day long and we may get to heaven one day. But what good are we here on earth? You know, what? I mean, how many people are going to go back? When we get to heaven, there's not going to be any condemnation or anything, but I believe that Jesus is going to look at you and He's going to say, "Shame, buddy, you know, Stephen down there, he was reaching out for you to talk to him about me, and you failed it." I think that's going to happen. I mean, there's not going to be any, like, condemnations or hurtful feelings or anything like that, but it's going to be in a loving way. And that's something we're going to have to think about, and, you know, and get past, you know, before we get there. And sometimes the Holy Spirit kind of does it for us so we don't have to when we get to heaven. The Holy Spirit kind of says, you should have talked to Him about Jesus. You know. So with that, I'm going to finish up, and I'm going to encourage everybody, as they go out this week, man, look, don't be so hard on yourself. Don't think yourselves better than anybody else. Don't think of yourselves as knowing it all, because none of us knows it all. Joe don't know it all. John don't know it all. And I sure as heck don't know it all. Okay? We're just doing what God wants us to do and what God has called us to do. And that is to lead, grow, educate as many people as we can about Christ. Okay? But first and foremost, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, when we start the music in a few minutes, I want to encourage you to come up here. I want to pray with you. If you've known Jesus, if you've asked Him to come into your life, but somewhere down the road you have fell far from Him, and you know you're not where you need to be, and you know you say, "Well, was I really saved to begin with?" Then come up here. I'd like to rededicate you to Him. Joe will, or John can, or Joe can, even with the playing, but John can. But now is the time. First and foremost, if these scriptures, excuse me, here comes that coffin in the name of Jesus, get rid of it. If you need to repent, if this is talking to you this morning, and you've not been a light, and you need to repent, come to these altars. Nobody will bother you. That's between you and the Lord. You come to these altars. You make it right. And you go out to those doors after church today, and you be that light. You be that person that looks appetizing for Jesus. You be that person that they can come to when they're having trouble with something. You be that person when they say, "Shane, will you pray for me?" They can rely on you to pray for them. You know, I have a guy I work with. This ain't lifting me up because I do a lot of stuff wrong. Let me tell you. But it does make me feel good when this person does this. He likes to use coarse language a lot. But the other day he looked at me and said, "I'm not going to say that around you." I was like, "I'm doing something pretty good then. If he can say that to me, then I'm making an impact in his life." He's looking at me. You know, every day that we're out in this world and people that don't know Jesus, they're looking at each one of us that do. Whether they want to believe it or say it out loud or not, deep down subconsciously they are. The Spirit is working with you. You know, I've known people who have told me, they've literally said, "Shane, I'm not saved. If I die right now, I know I will go to hell. I don't believe that Jesus can love me the way I am right now. I don't think I can live the life that Jesus would want me to live, like the Bible talks about. I know the scripture. I was raised in church. What do I do?" I just look down and say, "Man, you do nothing. You just ask and receive it. all you have to do, and Jesus will take care of the rest. If we think we can meet these requirements for Jesus to love us, then we've got the wrong attitude about Christianity. And if we've been living that life and thinking we're not saved or we are saved because we are, we got the wrong idea of Christianity. Because Christianity ain't that. Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we can go to in a time of trouble and that he can use us to be a light to this world. That's what Christianity is. It's not a judging God that sits upon his throne and says, I'm going to be like Zeus and I'm going to zap you if you don't do something right. But he's like, Shane, dude, you messed up. Come back to me. I'll hug you up and give you some love and just give you some joy again. Get you encouragement. Get you out on your way again. That's what Jesus is. All right? He said, but there's going to be consequences. But at the same time, I love you, man, and I don't want to see nothing bad happen to you. So here we go. Let's do this again. You know, there's no strikeouts. Just remember that. All right? That's all I got. Joe, you want to come on up?